is May 29th, 1997. We are in the office of Dr. Walter Jacob, his office for Rabbi Emeritus. He's moved. And this is National Council of Jewish Women's Oral History 2. And I'm Mary Harrison, the interviewer, and the note taker is Gabby Dinman. We are starting on tape 15, but actually, tape 14 is only half recorded. And since we do not have that tape with us, we are now starting on tape 15. And that would be actually side, should be side 29. What are we going to do with it?
That's all right. It'll create a mystery as with the Nixon tape.
Okay, Walter. We are going to, since I took wrote the notes for the last interview, I have some things that I'd like to clean up, and as I mentioned to you before we turn the tape on, whatever we don't, I'll give you the list and we'll do it. The local architect that you used here, you mentioned the name Ahrensburg. Came out, and I don't know where Ahrensburg came from, that's why I'm asking you. Was he part of the restoration?
No. Palmer and Hornbostel did the temple itself, as you know. I don't know who did the Levy Hall. I suppose I can discover that. Jacobson and somebody else, I can't think of at the moment either, did the Friedhof Hall, that part of the addition. And someone else did a design, but that was only a design for an interior space, the Josiah Cohen Chapel. I'm sure that information is in the minutes of the congregation. I don't know who it is.
All right. The art collector Rosenblum that you mentioned, do you know his full name?
That was Charles Rosenblum.
Oh, it was Charles Rosenblum. Yes. The one that lived on...
Yes, lived on Beechwood.
Yes.
And,
And his wife was Lee Harper.
Correct. And his wife just died a couple of years ago.
Exactly. Do you want to mention her name?
I don't really know her first name.
She was a harpist for the Pittsburgh Symphony.
Yes, and was quite interested in Israel, as he was too.
And then you mentioned that you had gone to a Y concert where there was a marvelous German cellist. Do you remember her name?
I'm pretty sure it was a man, and I don't remember. I don't even know if I can look it up because I believe I just recently threw out that program.
All right, I'm going to be giving these notes. Okay. Then you mentioned the largest German publishing house.
Bertelsmann, Bertelsmann, maybe N-N, I'm not sure.
That was not audible. Those
are Bertelsmann.
Yes.
And they're larger than Fisher Phillips.
Yes.
Okay. Principal of the Leo Beck College. You mentioned his name. It
his
wasn't
name
audible.
Is Jonathan Maginette, M-A-G-O-N-E-T.
And you mentioned the Fox Chapel Synagogue. Is there such a place?
Yes.
Where?
There is. It's at the opposite end of Fox Chapel from where you are, close to the rehab. It's probably not in Fox Chapel itself. It's close to the Rehab Institute. Up there on the hill. And it's called...
You mean on 910?
I can't tell you what the name of it is. No, it's not on a main highway. It's on a different road. But that you can discover by looking it up in the phone book or calling it.
I wasn't even sure there was one.
You don't have to bother me with that.
It's called Fox Chapel.
No.
No.
It
no.
has a Hebrew name. Because as you remember, Mary said that Jewish was in...
But that's not where our Sunday school children go.
No, they go to Satellite.
We have a satellite, but this is a synagogue which they used a building that has had a dual history. It was a school for a while, most recently, and before that, it was a Catholic institution, and they rebuilt it very nicely into a synagogue and a nursery school, Sunday school facility. It doesn't, you know, there's nothing about it that makes it look like a synagogue, but that's true of a great many mosques.
And it has no affiliation with Rosh Hashanah.
They're not sure what they are. They're sort of between conservative and reform.
Are those the people that came from New Kensington, some of them?
New Kensington and B'nai Israel.
Okay, all right. B'nai Israel just closed in East Liberty.
Yes.
Several years ago, and all right. And do you remember the name of the rabbi?
They don't have a rabbi. They have a temporary rabbi, Rabbi Dick, but they're looking for a rabbi.
Okay. Good job for you. You don't have enough to do. We'll recommend you. Okay, you mentioned the 19th this summer's symposium, and then you mentioned a professor from the University of Pittsburgh and a professor from the University of Louisville.
Oh, yes.
And you know their names.
Yes. Now, this is a symposium on small-town synagogues, which is part of the Associated American Jewish Museums and the Western Pennsylvania Historical Society and the Rutherford Gallery. The professor from Louisville, I better get it. Is Lee Shai Weisbach, W-E-I-S-B-A.
Lee?
The middle name is S-H-A-I, and his last name is Weisbach, W-E-I-S-B-A-C-H. And he's talking on the roots of our rural synagogues. And Dr. Edward Muller, M-U-L-L-E-R, of the University of Pittsburgh, is talking on the Western Pennsylvania background. And I'm going to talk on architectural influences, European and American. You don't want me to read off all the four symposia of the Halacha Society.
We'll do that for our
20th.
We'll do that on our 100th tape, okay? Something to look forward to. You mentioned, or Gabi asked you about the tile, the Gustavina tile that is in the temple, and I looked up the definition of Gustav and how to derive his name, but it's not on the tape. Would you please tell us about the name, how it received its name?
Well, I don't know how it received its name. Although I have a little booklet at home. They just had an exhibit on the Gustavina tiles at the Carnegie Museum. So I'll look at that, and then I'll tell you more about it.
Okay, I have from my Random House dictionary, I look up, it's under Gustav, and it says it's a male given name from the Germanic word.
Yeah, what has that got to do with it?
Well, it's Staff of God, and that's the name it's given, and
I just thought
maybe that there was...
That has absolutely nothing to do with it.
None of it at all.
No. It's a tile that, an Italian tile, which in the way in which it was used enables you to put up a large roof without a support. But it's got nothing. The name is immaterial.
It is immaterial.
It could have been called Paris.
All right. It's not a bad name. It's a good idea. Okay, because it said Staff of God, I just thought maybe that had become a symbol.
No.
Okay.
If we started building synagogues or any other building according to things like that, I think a lot of them would collapse.
And what kind of a stone does it need support? I'm not quite sure.
Well, I'll get you the complete details.
Okay.
Or you can look it up yourself from the pamphlet of the Carnegie Museum so that I'll have it 100% right.
Okay. We need the dates for the exact dates of the beginning of the restoration and the end of the restoration.
I'll get
all right.
You that.
And the date of the fire?
Yeah, that was at the end. I think we finished in 95, so that was 95.
All right, so we have that. you're struggling to get a set, okay. You made an interesting statement. When you talked about the renovation, you mentioned that...
It's not a renovation, it was a restoration.
Restoration. That it was a commitment to stay in the community. Where would you have gone, or where would Temple have gone, if not that?
Well, you could have moved out to Fox Chapel.
Okay.
Anyplace else. But this is a commitment that the Jewish community is going to stay in the city of Pittsburgh. Our community and the larger Jewish community made that same commitment with the Jewish Community Center. So that's a rather definite statement.
Okay. And the year that you did the labor balancing at home, do you remember that year? We do meet that year. You did some balloting in your home. Remember, for the home, you...
No, I didn't do any balloting at home.
You did it in the... For the home, excuse
for
me.
The home,
for the
yes.
home, do you remember the year?
I don't remember the year. Probably cannot discover that either.
Okay, I'll give it to you. And then you mentioned three German aging rabbis. You know their names.
Peter Levinson, another one by the name of Stein, and I can't think of the third.
And then you mentioned a young woman rabbi. Do you know her name?
I'll have to look it up to get
okay.
it right.
And then this president of the Leo Beck School in London.
That's the same Jonathan Majumet we talked about a minute ago. The questions that I didn't answer, you're probably, I mean, just so you won't be disappointed, you're probably not going to get them next time either.
All right, well, whatever. We can't get, what did they got out of a turnip or something? All right, Walter, next thing I want to mention, Gabby mentioned, there are some degrees, and I'd like you to talk about the Hebrew Union College, the Jewish Institute of Religion, and you received an honorary degree in 1975. Would you like to talk a bit about that?
So, that school with its four campuses is the Reform Seminary for the United States or for North America and for Israel. It's a good school. Went there. Got a decent education. Some interesting, very interesting professors. And beyond that, I can't really tell you anything.
And your Drury College, you received an honor in 1990?
Right. What can I tell you about that? That you decided to give me an honorary degree? I don't know.
Because of your parents
reason.
Or your being there? Or?
No, it has nothing to do with my parents, because my parents were by that time dead for 15 years or so.
Did you have to give a speech?
Yes.
At each one?
Just a short speech in Cincinnati, a longer speech in Springfield, Missouri. What did I say? No. I probably have a record of it somewhere, but I don't listen. You give so many speeches, expect me to remember what I said 7 years
Absolutely.
Ago.
Absolutely. How about what you said this morning? Something that happened new, and we discussed it, the sale of WQEX. Evidently, there are some rumors, or I don't know whether it's an actuality. Gabby doesn't think it's been approved yet, but they are going to be selling that station. We have your opinion of what you thought of the sale. How do you feel about it? You mentioned that if they want to sell it to whomever, this is something that is up to them, and you have no specific judgment on the fact that a fundamentalist group would be buying it. But now, so that we have on tape, but now that there is possible sale. Do you have any comment?
No, I still think it's basically a mistake to get rid of something like that, or to settle a $10 million debt, which these days is not such a large sum of money. And there's a vague talk about new technology which will enable you to broadcast several signals from a single wave band, but that's often future. And what it would mean is that it would cut the decent programming in half, because QEX and QED are parallel. And they have said that they would broadcast 24 hours a day, but except for a handful of insomniacs, that really is of no use. So, but the whole thing still has to pass the FCC or whatever other Washington agencies there are. It's an easy way out of the debt.
You think it's a short-term kind of thing?
No, I mean, I'll grant you that. It's an easy way out. Nobody has to dig into their pockets. But we have large corporate headquarters here, and it should be possible for these outfits and individuals who have means to change their financial situation.
Are you familiar with any of the board members or any of the people that...
Oh, I'm familiar with them, but not being on the board now, you know,
yeah.
I haven't had any input into this at all. And the current board is primarily a business executive board, in contrast to the previous board, which had much more of a mix.
Okay. We mentioned a lot of we talked about a lot of things, some of the responses, and one area that did not address is fertility. Why such a smile?
Well, I mean, it's there's a book, The Fetus and Fertility, which the Law Institute published two years ago. So if you would like to read it, I'll give you a copy.
We're doing an oral history of some of your opinions, and
well,
if I go home and read it,
yeah, but that's,
it's not going to be on tape of what your opinions
are. It's not going to be on tape, because to try to do that in a couple of minutes is would be wrong. So if somebody wants to delve further into that, I think that book will survive a few years, and they'll be able to look it up themselves.
And you don't want to comment on the religious aspects and the moral aspects?
It's too complex to do that in a couple of minutes.
We have time.
Well, I'm not going to give you an hour-long speech.
Okay. Abortion and the Supreme Court, the latest findings, the latest vote, this political football, and this partial birth issue and trimester, do you have any?
Again, you know, these are complex questions, and just to provide an opinion without any documentation backup, it just wouldn't be right. So as these things have been published, anybody that's interested should look at it.
Yeah.
And I'm all for getting people to look at books. I mean, I get all these phone calls of people who want a quick answer over the telephone, and I tell them also, read the book. If you don't want to read the book, then you really don't want to answer.
Well, I'm not looking for a quick answer, Walter. I'm looking for someone who has had the impact and influence on the community that you have. And these are such very, very, very important issues in today's world, and for all of our, especially young people. And your opinion, and without giving any legal answers, you're not an attorney. I wouldn't ask you to get that technical. I thought maybe you could give us some idea of what your opinions are and how you felt about it. And I think your opinion is very important, And since we have this extensive oral history...
It's flattering.
Well, no, it's from coming from me, it is the truth.
But, you know, I'll say something about the current Supreme Court and the political part of that. The rest, the Jewish answer to these things, ends up being more complex. Although we have no problem with abortion when it endangers the life of the mother, or there are other factors akin to that, or there is serious malfunction threatened in the child, and it really wouldn't matter when in the process this is discovered. I think the current legislation is simply an effort not so much to deal with a very small segment of abortion, which is really not worth the time of the Congress, but an effort to overturn the whole set of decisions.
You mean Roe versus Kavanaugh?
Yes. And what disturbs me mainly in all this is that the women's point of view and women's health issues and so on have become very secondary. And so this is a big political hassle with long-term ramifications, especially for the poorer part of the upper middle class and the wealthy people will always be able to do what they want because they'll be able to move somewhere else temporarily if they want to go in that direction. But other people will not.
When you say that the women issue is now secondary, isn't that a thing? What is your opinion that the women issue becomes secondary?
Why that's happened, I think it's a lack of sensitivity to a fair extent on the part of Congress, where women are still a small minority. And if women raise their voices more, I think that'll change because they are not a minority among voters.
Well, I think the fact that you have a woman rabbi and have had a young woman rabbi for so many years, I think, I don't want to be too presumptuous, but knowing you a little, I feel that your feelings are that women should have a voice and have equal opportunity. But you don't feel that they're quite there yet.
Well, certainly not. They are in some instances and in others not. And here is an issue which is being debated. With that, those kinds of thoughts almost entirely neglected.
Okay, and the fertility thing is going to leave.
I'm all for children.
All right. You are, okay.
The
new technology, if this is a way of having a family, and if it's done ethically,
there's no problem with that.
Okay.
But the whole thing is there are plenty of associated questions that need to be dealt with, and so you can't really do it.
And what are some of the associated questions?
Well, you have to deal with the nature of the donor, the responsibilities, possible responsibilities of the donor. Should the donor be identified? Should the donor be anonymous, psychological ramifications, legal ramifications, it becomes quite complex.
Okay, can't resist this one. What do you think of this whole, the unanimous Supreme Court decision on going ahead with, what is your opinion?
Well, you know, I don't really have an opinion on something like that. I'm not a lawyer. If Netanyahu gets in the same bind, then you can ask me on that.
Well, that's next. I have a New York Times article right now that I'm going to discuss with you. I'd like you to make some comments on what is.
Yeah, but these things.
How about the moral issue? I mean, is President Kennedy, excuse me, Clinton, what is your opinion? I mean, at what point is too much? I'm just curious. I'm not much for judging, but I'm curious what your opinion is.
I don't, you know, first of all, I don't know what the facts are, and that remains to be seen.
Exactly.
On the whole, I feel rather strongly that the personal life of individuals is one thing, and their government, their ability to govern is another.
And do you feel that he's been able to do that? Do you feel that the results that you've seen as he is president, now that he's, you know, lame duck in his previous 4 years, do you feel that he has been able to separate the two from what he's accomplished or is accomplishing or trying to?
I think so. And I think you have to in that position. I think he's far from a lame duck.
Okay.
He may not run for office again, but there's plenty of power there.
You feel? In what respect?
Everywhere.
Just his persona?
No, it has nothing to do with persona. It's that he's in charge, he makes decisions, and there are plenty of things that an executive can do that provide lots of power. It's not like a congressman who has just been defeated, you've got from November to January, when that person's out of office, there's such a short period that even if that person still has some connections and power, that becomes very limited. But Clinton's going to be around for several years, so that's, I wouldn't call him a lame duck.
Okay. I guess one of the things that comes to my mind is this power that the president has in appointing Supreme Court justices and making decisions such as that, and that is actually
hanged
over, like the Reagan administration.
Much more down-to-earth things. I mean, there are endless regulations which can be imposed. The legislation is there, and it's up to the executive to do that. An enormous amount of our you know, government depends on that. So he has the ability to change that by executive order. Some of it could be undone by the Congress. This is a very time-consuming and laborious process. So there's lots of power there, far beyond the appointment power.
You respect President Clinton?
Yes.
How would you rate him, Senator, on the phone?
Ask me in 20 years.
All right. You know what? At the rate we're going, we'll be there. I'll be 88. And I think Gabby will be, too. I just gave. Do you get the morning, do you get the daily New York Times?
I do, but I don't read it till the evening.
Same. All right, then I'll back up all the way. What do you think of Netanyahu still being in office? Do you feel that he should be in office, considering all the accusations?
Well, he was elected, it's a democracy. If they want to remove him, there are steps for doing that. Whether I agree with his policies or not, it's the Israelis have elected him, so they have to live with him.
What do you think the consequences are going to be in Hassan, if any?
Well, thus far, there really have been no consequences of any serious import. And it's hard to say what consequences there will be. You know, there are the two elements to that, the external foreign relations and the internal, what's going to happen to Israel itself. And how do you solve the problem of the religious minorities, the Jewish religious minorities?
Who are?
Reform, conservative, instructionists, whatever.
And what about this conflict?
that is now among two groups, the Orthodox, who is the fundamentalists, who say that, you know, we're trying to determine who is Jewish and who is not Jewish.
Well, they've always tried that, but it's such a small minority that they make a lot of noise. But that doesn't really impact the Jewish world. And because they're picturesque, they also will end up on the front page, like this story about the red heifer. As if anybody, including even the Orthodox, would ever really want to start sacrifices again. And that plays well with fundamentalist Christians who are looking for a messianic age. So you'll have them also now studying the laws of the red heifer. It's good press, but it had nothing to do with reality.
Well, but what's amazing is the influence that it has today in world communication